If you've been here over the last number of weeks, you'll know that we've been doing a series based on Psalm 23 called Safe and Sound. And we're kind of working through the psalm, the different phrases within Psalm 23, just kind of taking a fresh look at that. You know, many times Psalm 23, you only hear it at funerals. And it was never meant, David didn't write it so that we'd have something to read at funerals. He wrote it out of a shepherd's heart, but yet at the same time from a sheep's perspective of how God is the caretaker of our lives. The very first week, we focused on that first phrase. Maybe we could say it together on the count of three. The Lord is my shepherd. One, two, three. The Lord is my shepherd. And the thing we focused in on that week was just an understanding that all of us are guided, directed, led by someone or something. You know, even if it's ourselves who are calling the shots for our lives, we are all guided by something. Something is directing our hearts. Something is directing the affairs of our lives. And for David, his opening statement is, and his declaration is, the Lord is my shepherd. It was him that he was transferring the governing of his life, the governing of his heart to. And then the second week, we looked at this, the next phrase. Maybe we could say that together. One, two, three. I shall not be in want. Remember, I said to you that those two things, although separate phrases, they're separated by a semicolon. And I shared with you that sometimes punctuation is very important, because as important as the first phrase is, the second phrase is equally of importance. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not be in want. The Lord will supply my needs. He will take care of me. He will watch over me. He will protect me. And you know, this wasn't written from the perspective of a lack of adversity. David was a man of adversity. He knew what it meant to go through some very difficult things. You know, at one point in his life, he was pursued by Saul. His very life was hanging in the balance as Saul tried to kill him. And then a little later on in his life, he was betrayed by one of his own sons, Absalom. And there were numerous other things in David's life. You know, his whole fall with Bathsheba and you know, kind of his ascent from that low place. All of that spells adversity, but David knew that the Lord was caring for him, watching over his soul. And then a couple weeks ago, Pastor Josh talked to us about this phrase. Maybe we could say it together. One, two, three. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And Pastor Scott Pastor Josh did a great job with that, talking about how the essence of that is rest. But then he went on to talk to us about the reason sheep can't rest is because of fear. Fear in a variety of forms, annoyances, hunger, things bugging them, infighting, all the different ways that the sheep find themselves not at rest. But you know, I know I didn't get to preach on that, but actually when I was kind of studying some things in regards to that, one of the things I found out in some of the research that I did was that in order for sheep to digest their food properly, they have to lie down. Now, here's why. They're unlike us, like, right? We are called monogastric. You didn't know that, did you? We have one stomach. Here's how it works for us. We eat the food. It goes into our stomach. Our stomach deals with it, right? Then it goes, Tom, what's it go to? The small intestine first, then into the large intestine, and then out the other end, right? Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that's how our system works. Any cud-chewing animal, of which sheep are a part of, they have four stomachs. I wish I had four stomachs, right? I only have one. So the way a sheep system works is they go out and they munch down, you know, the green stuff, and it goes into their first stomach. Now, in order for them to be able to digest the food, they have to actually regurgitate that back up out of the first stomach, re-chew it, redo whatever they do, and then when it heads back the second time, it heads for the second stomach. I mean, it's amazing that that whole thing even works, right? But the sheep chew their cud best when they are laying down relaxed. Hello? So if they're going all the time, if they're up and moving all the time, it ends up leading to gastrointestinal problems for a sheep. Now, I thought about that, and I thought in light of some of the things that we tend to deal with, our lives, a lot of our lives, are incredibly busy, right? I hear it from people all the time. Well, I can't do that. I'm so busy. We're just going. We're going all the time. And I wonder to myself, are we really getting the nourishment out of the things the Lord is trying to speak to us, is trying to feed to us? Because we're so busy going all the time, we never have time to really chew on that stuff. We're never pulling away. We never allow Him to cause us to lie down in green pastures so we can actually digest and ruminate. Now, here's an interesting thing. If you go to the word ruminate in the dictionary, you will find as a synonym for ruminate, meditate. Meditate. And if you go to the definition of ruminate and go to the definition of meditate, you will find this phrase as being a way to describe both. And here's the phrase: to chew the cud. And that's a way of describing taking time to seriously, meditatively reflect on matters. And I really think part of what our culture, part of what our system has done is got us so busy with stuff that we don't have time to really think deeply about such things. Now, the Bible, I'm not trying to re-preach what Pastor Josh said to us. I hesitate to do these kinds of things. But the Bible, in the book of Psalms, repeatedly exhorts us to spend time meditating on the Lord. In fact, let me read this to you. Let me see if I can find it here. I didn't write down what psalm it is, but it's multiple times throughout Psalms. And here are the kinds of things that we're called to meditate upon, ruminate, chew the cud about. It says in Psalms to meditate on His unfailing love for us. I wonder how much time do we spend reflectively thinking deeply about His love for us. Here's another thing it says. It says to meditate upon His works. In other words, meditate, ruminate, chew the cud on the things that He has done for us. Here's another thing. It says to meditate upon His precepts. Now let me give you an English word for that, something we can relate to. To meditate upon His directives, the things He calls us to, the things He speaks to us about to govern our lives in a certain way. And then finally, it says in the book of Psalms, it says to meditate, to ruminate, to think deeply about his promises, the things that he has promised to us. You can't meditate or ruminate if you are going, going, going all the time. And I'm one standing here before you this morning saying I'm guilty of it personally. Of being so busy that, you know, my wife and I, the other day, she said, can we take our coffees out and sit, this was earlier in the morning, and just sit on the deck and just enjoy, you know, the warmth of the morning. And we got out there and we sat down in our chairs. And I don't know who said it first, but we looked at each other and said, when was the last time we did this? We can't even remember. Why? Because we're up and we're moving. We're already going. We are moving. And I wonder sometimes if that's like our own worst enemy, you know, just because of the busyness of life. A sheep, in order to properly digest its food, needs to lie down and spend time chewing the food so that it gets the most out of it. Okay, that I didn't mean to re-preach that all over again, but anyways, we want to go to what I want to talk. Whoops, I don't know how we got to there. What did I do? Wow, we are. Maybe we could say this phrase together on the count of three. One, two, three. He leads me beside quiet waters. Actually, the literal translation of the Hebrew word for quiet is rest. In other words, you could say it this way, he leads me beside restful waters. One translation says, by waters of rest, he refreshes me. Now, I want to try something this morning. I hope you don't mind. We're going to give this a shot. I've never done it before in all my many years here. But I'd like to, you can go online, you can find these or you can buy the CDs where water's running in the background and it helps you relax. That's what I want to do with you this morning. Now, I know we battle sleep, people falling asleep. Anyways, I look out and I see you nodding. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, just go ahead. Just go ahead, take a nap. We are beside still waters this morning. Just relax. So, guys, will this work if I hit the button? Okay, here we go. Here it is. So, can you hear it? Okay, now I also thought about this. I thought it may make some of you have to feel like you have to go to the bathroom. So if I see people leaving, I'll know what that's about this morning. He leads me beside restful waters. Restful waters. Do you know water is vital to survival? You have to have it to survive. In fact, I found out that water makes up, depending on what mammal we're talking about, somewhere between 60 to 80% of who we are. Water. That's what we are. We're a puddle of water. Water plays a large part in keeping our cells working properly. It's responsible for vitality, strength, vigor, not just within sheep, but even within us. If a supply of water is not sufficient, both for sheep and for us, serious problems begin to set in. Now, in terms of sheep, when they start to get thirsty, they become restless and begin to set out in search of water. Now, here's the problem. Remember, it says, he leads me beside restful or quiet waters. If the sheep sets out on his own, instead of being led by the shepherd, they will often end up drinking water from sources of water that are laden with parasites. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this properly. I'm going to try it. Some of the parasites, and this is a chronic problem as I've been reading about the responsibilities of a shepherd taking care of the sheep, trying to keep the sheep away from waters that are laden with parasites such as nematodes. Did I say it right? The biologist gave me the thumbs up. Nematodes and liver flukes. And so here's the problem. Remember I told you a few moments ago, if a sheep doesn't lie down and chew its cud, it makes it difficult for him or the sheep to digest their food. But if they become, if their gastric digestive system becomes infiltrated with parasites like these nematodes, it causes for an inflaming of their intestinal tract to the point, if it's left undealt with, they can die from it. So it causes severe gastric problem. If they end up drinking water that has liver flukes in it, they will end up having serious liver issues. And so they have to make sure they're drinking from the right source of water. Now, just as sheep get thirsty and in the natural long for water, the Bible is clear to the point that all of us have a thirst in our souls. We're not just talking about you and I needing to drink whatever number of glasses of water a day. I'm talking rather about the thirst we have in our souls. Psalm 107 verse 9 says, "The Lord satisfies the thirsty soul." Jesus said, "If anyone who is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." He wasn't talking about setting up a bar or a fountain shop, or that people, if they're thirsty in the natural, can come and he'll supply them with something to drink. He's talking about the thirst of one's soul. He's saying, if you're thirsty, come to me and I will give you something to drink. Do you remember the story where he was speaking to the woman at the water well? And he said, "Lady, I've got water that will satisfy your thirst." He wasn't talking about a natural water. Actually, she thought he was talking about natural water, but he was talking about a water for our souls, because our souls becomes thirsty. Psalm 23 says, "He leads me beside restful waters." Under God's leadership, he will bring us to waters that are safe for us. Waters that will satisfy our soul. But my observation is, both for my own life and as I've watched many others, there are times when we prone to get, our souls get thirsty, and rather than look to follow the shepherd to waters that are good for us, we end up setting out like sheep trying to quench the thirst of our souls with some other water. People set out to find relationships that will quench the thirsting of their soul. People will set out to find a vocation or maybe some recreation that will satisfy the thirst of their souls. People many times end up at watering holes. I've actually heard places where you can go and find a drink, if you understand what I'm talking about, referred to as watering holes. Is it true? I've never been to one. Liar. Anyways. I think what you find in any of those arenas are people looking for the thirst of their souls to be quenched. In Psalm 23, it tells us that he will lead us beside quiet or restful waters. The shepherd knows where the good, healthy, cleanest watering holes are. The ones that will truly satisfy our deepest wants and deepest desires of our soul. Now, there were three primary sources of water that a shepherd could find for his sheep. Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, and this is kind of one of those, like, you wouldn't think of it naturally, but the first source of water that a shepherd looked to find for his sheep was the dew on the grass in the morning. The second place that he would look to find water for his sheep were hand-dug wells. And then number three, the third place that he would look to find water for his sheep were at springs or streams. One of the things that I found out in my research, and I think probably many of us don't know because we've never lived in such an environment, is that the southern, if you took Israel and you cut the nation in half, the southern portion of Israel only has 5 inches of rainfall per year. It's a very dry, arid part. The northern part of Israel actually has, on average, about the same volume of rainfall that we have here in Western New York. So one is like an arid, and the other a not so arid part. So one of the primary ways, especially in the southern part of Israel, that a shepherd would look to find water for his sheep would be to make sure on a night when there was dew on the ground, that he would make sure to get his sheep up and going early in the morning so that they could take advantage of both eating and while eating, have the water to quench their thirst that was on the grass. There's a story in the Bible, you may be aware of it. The story is usually labeled Gideon's fleece. Now, the story goes like this. Gideon was looking for direction from God about whether to engage the Midianites in battle. And he was specifically looking for God to tell him whether or not, if they went and tried to attack the Midianites, whether God's favor would be with them and they would be successful. So as the story goes, he took a piece of sheep's wool and he laid it out on the ground and he prayed to God, and he said, listen, if your favor is with us, then what I would like you to do is cause all the dew to go onto the sheep's wool at night and the rest of the ground will be totally dry. So if you read the story in Judges, you'll find out that they go out the next morning, he goes to the sheep wool, and sure enough, the sheep wool is soaked with the dew of the night, and the rest of the ground is completely dry. But the point that I wanted to draw your attention to was, it says this about that. It says they took the sheep's fleece and they wrung out the dew, and the amount of dew that was in the sheep's fleece filled a whole bowl full of water. Now, I simply point that out to say that I think there's, if you've ever walked through the yard in the morning, or you've walked through a field, you will become soaking wet. That's how much water there is just from the dew of the night. So one of the primary ways that a shepherd would look to find water for his sheep was to make sure that they took advantage of the dew that was on the ground early in the morning. But here's the catch. You got to get up early to take advantage of the dew. I'm not talking Mountain Dew. I'm talking about the dew, the water on the grass in the morning. If you get up at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock thinking I'm going to go out there and take advantage of that, one of the things you will find is that the dew is gone. It has a way of coming and has a way of leaving in the heat of the day. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, I believe there really is something to this thing of getting up early in the morning to meet with God. Because I don't know if your life is like my life, but if you don't do it towards the beginning of the day, it just doesn't seem to get done. And I'm wondering if that earthly example of the dew being on the grass and available in the morning isn't a temporal or a natural sign of a spiritual dew that's available to us earlier in the day. Just a thought. Another way the shepherd provided water for the sheep, where he led them to, if he was fortunate enough, is to a well that was dug in the area. I want to read this passage to you. It's from Genesis chapter 29, verse 2. It says, "There Jacob saw a well in the open country with three flocks of sheep lying near it, because the flocks were watered from that well." Now, the idea of a shepherd having to water his sheep from a well was much more labor intensive than having them go out early in the morning to take advantage of the dew on the ground. Listen to what this goes on to say. It says, "The stone over the mouth of the well was large, and when all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherd would roll the stone away from the well's mouth and water the sheep. Then they would return the stone to its place over the mouth of the well." So what I want you to get a picture of here is that while, yes, there's a supply of water there, but in order to get access to that water, some effort is involved, right? So the shepherd had to move the stone away, but then not just move the stone away, he had to take buckets and lower the buckets into the well and bring a bucket up at a time and offer it to some of his sheep until they've had enough to drink. And then, as you can imagine, we're doing this multiple times in order to get all the sheep of his flock well watered. You got the picture? Much more labor intensive. Now, the third way, as I mentioned to you, and the final way that a shepherd would find water for his sheep, if he was fortunate enough, is to take them to an area where there was a stream or a spring flowing through it. But this was also labor intensive, because you see, a sheep, if you're looking at that picture, I don't know if you can see it behind me, do you see the kind of still water in the middle between the two rapids? A sheep will not drink from moving water. It scares them. The bubbliness of it, it bothers them. They like still or quiet water, right? So if a shepherd came along a stream or came along a spring in their travels and he wanted to use that for the sheep to drink out of, he would build a series of dams, if you will, in order to slow down the speed of the water so that the sheep could find still water to drink from. Are you with me? He leads me beside quiet waters. The question for us becomes, in my mind, how has the shepherd of our souls gone about providing water for you and I to drink from? When Jesus said, "Anyone who is thirsty, let him come to me and drink," it seems to me that this would indicate that he is the fountain, the dew, the well that he calls us to drink from. He becomes the one we go to as our source of water. But specifically, I believe there are places that you and I should look at as strategic watering holes for us to meet him. Number one, I'd like to liken the dew of the early morning to our own private devotions with him. I think one of the watering holes that God has strategically set in place for us where we can come to him and have our thirst quenched is our own private devotions with him. Early in the morning, taking advantage of the morning dew, a watering hole that can start our day off in the right well. Right way. Remember, we're being called. Remember, he makes them lie down in green pastures. He leads them beside quiet waters. What the picture is being painted there for us is that he wants us to be utterly satisfied, utterly at rest. I'm wondering if all of us, if each of us, if everyone who sees Christ as being that source of living water, that place of quiet waters, restful waters, if each of us took time out of our daily lives, if we started our mornings with some fresh green pasture, some ruminating, some meditating on his unfailing love, on his promises, on how he has worked on our behalf, on those things, if we drank from that stream, that quiet resting place, how different would our day go? Would that set a tone? Would that begin to quench a thirst in our souls that all of us long for, that somehow the day would look different, it would go different than if we just simply get up and start going? I think he strategically, you know, we're drinking from these other mud puddles. And then we wonder why our tummies are all upset. Boy, I feel like I could throw up. I will, Kurt. I'll hold it. I wonder sometimes, you know, I see a lot of carryover from the natural to the spiritual, and I wonder sometimes, you know, those. Yeah, you all know I have gastric problems, and we won't go into that this morning, but I wonder, when we're not taking advantage of those green pastures and quiet waters, if there's a disturbance in our soul that is similar to our gastrinal, you know, And you know, and we're thinking, well, I got this thing going on here. I got to take a Tums for it, right? A spiritual Tums. I gotta find a Tums. And all we're really doing is we're not resolving the problem. We're masking the problem. Just, I wonder about that. So I think one of the strategic watering holes that God has given to us in order to quench the thirst of our souls is our own private time with Him. I think another strategic watering hole that I would liken to that hand-dug well is the local church. You know, that hand-dug well is a well that many shepherds and their flock of sheep come to find water at that well. It's a strategic place in a particular region where people can come and find water. And I think to myself, the local church is supposed to be that place where we come and we find both food and drink that will satisfy our souls. You know, I just want you to know that as your pastor, one of the things that I spend countless hours a week concerned about is, Lord, would you please give me something to feed your sheep? Would you please give me a cup of water, if you will, so that when they show up on Sunday morning, they don't walk away feeling as thirsty as they did when they came in here. I think that just in the same way shepherd would take their sheep, their flock, to a local hand-dug well someplace so that he could water his sheep. I think local churches are strategically set up in different places in our neighborhood, in regional areas, so that people can see that as a well that they can go to and find a drink for their thirsty souls. And then finally, I think one of the strategic places that he has given us to find water for our souls is this table that we're engaging in here this morning. Communion, the Lord's table. The effort that he went through to provide this sacred moment, this personal moment of our hearts being retouched by his Spirit. He went to great effort. I thought about it. You know, the shepherd went out of his way to build dams to make the water in such a way that the sheep could drink it. And I thought about it. If anything, Jesus removed a bunch of dams so that we could have water in endless supply. Like the manna of old that came as dew on the grass. And when that happened in Exodus, it said, the Lord said to Moses, he said, this is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. Remember that story? When the dew came down, it ended up looking like frosted flakes. And they said, "What is it? This is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." I say to you this morning, in terms of this table, this is the bread that Jesus has given us to eat. This is the bread that represents his very life. This is the cup that represents his very blood that he's given us to eat and drink of so that our souls would be satisfied. He leads me beside quiet waters. Heidi, I'm going to invite you to come up to the instrument there. Jesus, the great shepherd, has invited us to follow him. He alone knows where and how to provide the water that our souls truly are thirsty for. When we as sheep look to set out on our own to find our own water, it never, ever ends well. This morning, the Lord has invited us. It's an ongoing invitation. come to me. But more specifically, he's invited us to come to this table and eat and drink. I'm praying this morning that your heart, your soul, will be revived and refreshed by what you find at this table. Don't be satisfied with the muddy waters of this world. I'm telling you, and I think you've all come to this conclusion, there's parasites in that water. Things that'll make you feel miserable after a while. Things that may not show up initially, but in time will make you have indigestion. We are here this morning with the purest of dew on the ground. We are here this morning with the sweetest water from the well of salvation. And we are here this morning with the freshest river that flows direct from the throne room of God. Jesus said, "If you're thirsty, come to me. And I will give you a drink. I will give you what your soul truly longs for." And it's there. It's at those places you will find rest for your soul. This morning, by way of instruction, I know sometimes we serve you, but this morning, I want because of our passage, "He leads me beside restful or quiet waters." I would like, we've got two stations here, and I would like it if you actually got out of your seats this morning as though you're coming, you're allowing him to lead you to that place where you can find your soul satisfied. Now, I want to pray before we start this. And this morning, I think to a larger or lesser degree, we are probably all guilty and accountable for drinking from various mud puddles of this world. So it'd probably be good if each of us personally took responsibility for that. And in our own private moment with the Lord right now, you know, in your own words, you would just say, "Lord, I know I've run to other waters besides you. Forgive me." Maybe you're here this morning and you've never embraced Christ in your heart of hearts. You've never said, you know, "I want you to be Savior and Lord of my life." Now would be an awesome time for you to invite him to be the shepherd, the true shepherd of your soul, of your life. To allow him to be the one that satisfies and nourishes you with both food and drink. Lord, in John chapter 7, you said that there would be a day, and we're living in it right now. You said there would be a day. In fact, on that very occasion that you hollered out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, and I will give him something to drink." On that very moment, in the next few verses, it says, "And by this, Jesus Christ spoke of the Holy Spirit that would once come." Lord, we're thankful that we live in a day when you have poured out your Spirit on all flesh. You have released it from heaven. And you have allowed us to engage with Almighty God through the river of your Holy Spirit. This morning, I'm asking, Lord, would you give each of us a fresh drink of that water of your Spirit? Even as we come and we partake in the emblems of your body and your blood, Lord, would somehow you ride upon that moment and engage us afresh with the person and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. A fresh drink from the river of heaven, Lord. And then you went on to say that whoever drinks of this river, whoever comes and allows you to satisfy their thirst. You said, then out of us would come streams of living water that would flow to the benefit of many. Lord, we're here thirsty this morning. We need another drink. We need a fresh infiltration, impartation of your Spirit, Lord. Would you do it? Would you do it right now, Lord, as we come and we come to the table you have invited us to. We come to that place that you've called us to remember, Lord. Would you come, Lord, by a work of your Spirit and do something fresh in each of our hearts and lives. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Pour out your Spirit. Personally, individually, pour out your Spirit.